It is Monday Night Football coming up at Shanks North and Shanks South. It'll be the Chicago Bears taking on the New York Jets. $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light draft. Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, joins us. Good morning, Jason. I know I'll start here because I know last year when we would talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, they were kind of one of your picks, if not to do well or if not to win at all, then to be one of the teams right there. It did not end up being the case. Maybe you were just off by a year because the Bengals are looking very strong.
Well, I've liked their roster for a couple of years now. I've liked the development of a lot of the young players. We just don't know what they can do when the lights get really bright in January. I mean, that's been their problem. They've been a nice football team. You know, September, October, November, into December. It's about getting over that hump now, just winning divisions. That's not going to placate people in Cincinnati anymore. It's about what do these guys do in the postseason. Marvin Lewis hasn't won a playoff game. He's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. And Andy Dalton, for all the very exciting, you know, regular season yardage totals he's put up and whatnot, he hasn't been good in the postseason either. So it's really, you know, wait and see on them. It's really no sense judging them now. I think they've been the most complete football team in the NFL in a year in which not too many teams have played 12 decent quarters of football. Not too many teams have been anything close to impressive for more games than not, and we're only three games into it. They have, but that's only going to buy them so much goodwill, because if they're one and done in the playoffs again, I think even if they're 14-2, heads will roll there. If there'll be some changes made, I suspect, if they can't duplicate their regular season success in the postseason.
And it looks like they're turning Andy Dalton into more of a game manager than a guy they're going to live and die by. He has not thrown for a ton of touchdowns nor picks. They're happy to run the ball all day.
Well, I mean, they drafted Jeremy Hill. They feel like they've got a very deep group of running backs. They're using Andy Dalton in a lot of spread formations and some zone read stuff. And he's had some, especially within the red zone, he's had more keepers, quarterback keepers, than I would have ever imagined. He caught a touchdown pass yesterday in sort of a trick play kind of situation. So Hugh Jackson, the new offensive coordinator, has certainly reestablished the want and the need to beat people up physically in the run game. And then also to utilize Andy Dalton in some different ways. He's a little more of an athlete than I think any of us suspected, at least judging, you know, in the first 3 weeks of the season and how he's been used. And we'll see. You know, they managed to keep A.J. Green healthy. Look like he might miss a little bit of time. They get the early bye. I'd suspect we see Vontaze Burfict coming out of the bye in week 5. But, you know, he's had two concussions already this season, so that could be a major concern for them. We'll have to see how healthy they can get. Marvin Jones should be back at some point. Tyler Eifert, they think, will be back at the back end of the season. So, you know, that could be a team that really is even deeper and better in December, potentially, than they have been these 3 weeks. And they've looked pretty good these 3 weeks.
Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Yesterday in Glendale, the Arizona Cardinals defeat San Francisco 23-14. The Cardinals 3-0. The Niners have now dropped a pair in two straight. Cardinals without their number one quarterback have won the last two games. What did we see? Was it the Niners just being off their game? Is how much credit do you give to Arizona in this one? What'd you see?
Well, I think you have to credit Arizona. I mean, they're 3-0. They've won back to back games with Drew Stanton as their quarterback, and they had to do one on the road. And I know the Giants are no great shakes, but they still had to go across the country with a backup quarterback, and they've had a lot of other injuries as well, and win that game. And, you know, the week one, San Diego, the last 2 weeks, I mean, they've been as good as any team in the league. In week one, Arizona knocked them off. So, I mean, Bruce Arians now, you go back to Indianapolis, and he takes over for Chuck Pagano in the middle of the season, very early in the season, when the head coach is diagnosed with cancer out of the blue. He goes 9-3. And last year, first year in Arizona, no one has expected anything. He goes 10-6. And now he's one of the only three 3-0 teams in the NFL. So he's doing something right. I mean, I'm not very good at math, but that's 22-9. You win 22 of your first 30 football games as a head coach in this league, especially under duress. And again, this year, without a starting quarterback for two of the three games, you're obviously onto something there. They play their guts out. They obviously love their head coach. They have a fighting spirit there. And they play smart. I mean, we saw the 49ers self-destruct in a lot of different ways yesterday. Special teams miscues. Anquan Boldin with a ridiculous headbutt to take them out of a position where they could have gone ahead in the game. A couple of other personal fouls that were uncalled for. And Carolina kept their cool. They, Drew Stanton made plays when he had to. You know, no one runs the ball that well in the 49ers. That's still one thing they have going for themselves. But late in the game, Ellington did show up a little bit, and they did keep trying to move it on the ground and stay balanced. I give Arizona a lot of credit. And the 49ers, that, you know, that to me, this was a boom or bust year. This was the year that they either all got over the hump with Harbaugh and, you know, all that collegiate stuff paid dividends, or this was a year where things started to fray and maybe the message started to get a little old, and maybe that team has gotten a little older than they think, and maybe that roster isn't nearly as good as they think. And it's only three games, but right now there's certainly cause for concern with the 49ers. They're not the big bad 49ers of before. They're not bullying people out of these games. They're not intimidating anyone. And that defense, again, they can stop the run, but they're not scaring anybody in the pass game. I mean, the lack of Navarro Bowman and Alden Smith in that defense is having a massive effect.
Just a thought on that Super Bowl rematch yesterday, Jason, from Seattle. What do you make of Seahawks-Broncos Part 2?
You know, I got to tip my cap to the Denver defense. I understand they gave up that drive in overtime, but, you know, Seattle's not losing a whole lot of games at home. But Denver was dead in that game until the defense woke them up. I mean, for three quarters, Peyton Manning was absolutely befuddled. He looked like a grandpa out there. I mean, he was just kind of looking around, seemed a little slower than everybody else. The ball's wobbling like a duck, floating in the air, sailing. Nothing really thrown on a BB. No, not taking any deep chances. Just kind of looked, looked like he was getting handed to him. And it's 17-3, and the defense turned it around. That safety on Marshawn Lynch was huge. You know, special teams downing the ball a couple times and changing field position was huge. The interception was huge. That finally invigorated the offense. And then Peyton did, you know, Peyton woke up in the fourth quarter and he did some Peyton Manning things to tie the game. But, I think you could see some of the fruits of Denver's offseason labors in that game. And it's no shame losing at Seattle because pretty much everybody does it. I don't know that offense is going to be what it was last year. I don't know if that's possible. Monte Ball to me is very much a question mark. And they really lacked that third down. But last year they threw a lot of balls to Sean Moreno. They loved him coming out of the backfield. They love him as a pass protector. Monte Ball, still proving his worth as a pass protector. And he's not gifted with natural hands the way Moreno was. So, you know, that to me could be an issue for them. But look, they're a good team. They're going to win that division. They'll be there in the end. But the better defense and the more physical team still often wins in this league. And I think the pendulum has swung even more to defense. I mean, we're talking about Peyton Manning. He's nowhere near what he was a year ago. Tom Brady is flat out struggling and he can't get any pass protection. Drew Brees is struggling. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. I mean, this is the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. Ben Roethlisberger, that team went eight quarters without scoring a touchdown. I mean, you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks in the league. None of them are off to a flying start. I think it's fair to say that there's been some defensive recalibration in this league.
Stay with New England there because they almost lost that game to Oakland. There was all kinds of opportunity for the Raiders.
Very easily could have lost. New England offensively right now is rudderless. It's almost a hope and a prayer. Everything is a struggle. They're always in third and long. I think Edelman was targeted 13 times. I mean, the whole offense runs through Edelman now, especially on third down and in the red zone. He's taking a huge beating. You know, Gronk still only playing slightly more than 50% of the snaps. He's not 100%. There's times in games where they force feed him the ball and he looks like Gronk, but you don't see that over four quarters, not even close to it. They have no semblance of a deep threat whatsoever. No one's even worried about them making plays outside the hash marks. You know, that Tompkins or Dobson, the idea that one of those young speedsters was going to develop, it's just not there. They have no one to stretch the defense. Danny Amendola is a spare part. And the offensive line is getting absolutely mauled. I mean, that Oakland team, if you watch them at home against Houston, that was as pathetic of a performance as you could imagine. They couldn't. They could. The offensive line could do nothing. Could do nothing. I mean, you would go in there thinking Oakland's got no shot going across the country. I mean, if New England could just kind of keep Brady a little bit upright, they'll get shredded. They couldn't keep Brady a little bit upright. He was constantly being hit, constantly being harassed. He was visibly frustrated. The run game was okay, but I mean, Oakland was giving up 200 yards a game on the ground, and New England didn't come close to that. New England's got some issues. They can't run what they want to run right now because of that offensive line, and there's only two or three guys who Brady still trusts. And I don't know. They're better defensively, and they're better on special teams, but man, that's not at all what I thought that offense would look like. And I really I think I really misrepresented just what an issue their offensive line is.
Chatting with Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Still with quarterbacks, it looks as though the Bridgewater Bortles era has begun in the NFL.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time for most of these kids, and I thought that six or seven rookie quarterbacks would start games this year when it's all said and done. And you know, Bortles is going to stay as the starter. Bridgewater is going to stay as the starter. Obviously, Derek Carr has been starting since the beginning of the season. Manziel is on the field here and there. I don't think he'll be starting anytime soon, but he at least shows up on the field a little bit. If Jake Locker continues on this trend, I think we'll see Mettenberger starting there sometime next month. And then obviously injuries will lead to some of these kids playing in other places as well. Yeah, it was a tough spot for Bridgewater. I mean, New Orleans was dominating that game through the first quarter. Castle gets hurt, and Minnesota stayed in that game, and I credit their defense. That's another team, another quarterback, Drew Brees, where that offense is not anywhere near what people thought it would be. It's not prolific at all. They have to force the ball to Jimmy Graham to get big plays. Nobody else is really stepping up on a regular basis. The loss of Darren Sproles, to me, looks very significant through 3 weeks in terms of that element of the screen game and him taking a little three-yard pass and turning it into a 50-yard gain. But, yeah, I mean, North Turner liked Bridgewater a lot. It was only a matter of time before he played. Injuries expedited this a little bit, although with what Castle had done the last couple of games, you know, this was in the air for competitive reasons as well. And obviously it ended up happening because of an injury. But these kids, you know, again, a lot of them will play. I think even a few nobody's talking about right now will end up playing the game for one reason or another. I mean, if Cincinnati goes on this kind of a tear and they clinch that division with four games to play, you know, they may take a look at A.J. McCarron for a game and sit Andy Dalton. So, we'll see six or seven of these kids when it's all said or done.
Kirk Cousins finished with over 400 yards passing, and a Washington team that looked lost with RG3 at the helm suddenly has some life.
80 points in the last seven quarters, or close to it. Close to 80 points in the last seven quarters with Kirk Cousins there. He is a better fit in that offense. It moves quicker. It flows better. The speed of thought is much quicker. RG3 wasn't the same physically this year. And for whatever reason, you think another year removed from the surgery, he'd be better. It just wasn't there. He wasn't running away from people. He wasn't explosive. He wasn't the best athlete on the field. When you're not a natural pocket passer, and now you're no longer the most dynamic athletic specimen on the field, you're not running away from linebackers. You're getting dragged down by safeties. That's gonna be a problem. Cousins looks confident. Everybody's showing up. He's not like playing any favorites. It's not, oh, let's just target Pierre Garçon 20 times today. I mean, everyone's getting the ball. There's a lot to like there, without a doubt. The team just seems to have really rallied around him. Yeah, they lost that game at Philadelphia, but man, it was a slugfest. And offensively, they gave as well as they got. if they get their tight end Jordan Reed back in a couple of weeks, you know, there's potential for that thing to look even a little more robust offensively. So I don't think Kirk Cousins loses that job. I mean, maybe RG3 is healthy in 6 to 8 weeks, but no one's going to be rushing him. There won't be any firm timetable, and I don't suspect that from a coaching perspective, they're going to need to see a whole lot other than what they're getting out of Kirk Cousins right now.
I was impressed on the other side. Nick Foles, 325 yards, but he was running for his life. He was on the ground, but yet three touchdowns, no picks, never was sacked. He managed to distribute that hit, the one bomb that he took there. He came up and won the game for them.
Yeah, it was another game where they started slowly. Washington had the ball the entire first quarter. I mean, it was 14-7, but the Eagles scored on a return. So literally, Washington, I mean, it took Foles a while to get going because he was not on the field in the entire first quarter, you know, save for like two plays. So when they got going, they exploded. They were down to one starting offensive lineman in the fourth quarter. So he was getting hit a lot, not necessarily sacked, but he was absorbing a lot of punishment, as was Shady McCoy. You know, he kept getting back up and so touchdown throws he made late in that game were pretty special. It's clear that, you know, Foles is Chip Kelly's guy, and he's thriving in that environment. They can't keep losing offensive linemen like this. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, the extent of Jason Kelsey's injury. It looked pretty serious. You know, their left tackle Jason Peters was ejected. I mean, he won't be suspended or anything, so he'll be back. The Eagles, first team in NFL history to fall behind by at least 10 points or more in each of their three games and still win. I don't know that you can keep that script going that way all year, and I worry about their defense. I think they've got some issues there, and they've been figured out there a little bit. But Foles is certainly not a problem for them, and he's gutsy as heck. The kid, you know, showed a lot again yesterday, and you know, they're going to score points. We know they're going to score points. I just don't know how well they're going to defend.
Jason, great stuff, man. Have a good week. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, brought to you by Shanks Sports Grill. It's Monday Night Football tonight. Shanks North, Shanks South, the Chicago Bears taking on the New York Jets. $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light Draft. Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary.